Oh, praise the Lord. In spite of the fact that it's not snowing, we're here. You know, there's always some little thing that strikes me funny. This was a good one. I called up primary care office to renew one of my medications for high blood pressure. And the first thing she says, well, are you on hospice? Not right now.
Oh, boy.
Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord God, for delivering us. We have no fear. We sang that song. Fear doesn't belong to us anymore. Only the fear of God, but not the fear of men or institutions or things. And I was, it's a little difficult for me this morning. Some of you are aware there's a prison strike going on. Of the 42 prisons, 36 of them have wildcat strikes. And Governor Herschel has called up the Army National Guard and the Air National Guard, of which Hillary is a member. Raymond is actually a part of the regular Air Force, so he is not called up. But Hillary was. So for the last 2 days or three, she has been on training to know what to do inside of a prison. And would you like that? I don't know. That seems to be strange. I thought about when my mother told me, she says, "You, if you don't obey me, I'm going to send you to prison." And Hillary took me for a telephone tour of the barracks or the dorm that they call them now, where she is. And just have a little bunk, not even a pillow. She had to get one, borrow one from someone. And she's not allowed to take her phone anywhere, so she had to leave it there. And she is confined, locked in, for however long it takes these strikes to resolve. And she's eating prison food, of which she's not able to identify most of what she eats. Even the coffee was not this color. And probably didn't taste as good. But the Lord has been with her and with her family. Raymond now has to take care of two children and Daphne and see that his home is taken care of without her. She's not going to be home for a while. They say maybe as long as 2 months. So we pray, Lord God, that you would go before her. Give Raymond wisdom, Lord God, and what to do and not to do. We pray in our name, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Aren't you glad we have a God in heaven? None of this is as bad as what's going on in the rest of the world, but we still suffer until he comes again. He has brought us in through trials and tribulations. These scriptures that I'm going to share today are some of my favorites. I'm going to go right to the first chapter of Acts. So if you want to turn there in your Bibles and cell phones, whatever you're using, iPads. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up. After he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commands to the apostles whom he has chosen. So this text begins with the understanding that Jesus himself was teaching, and not just making himself visible, but teaching his disciples and being there among them, both to do and teach, it says. That must have been an interesting time to live, don't you think? Yeah. Wow. There he is. He's already been on the cross, died for our sins, and now he's here in the flesh teaching us. We don't have to wait for Wayne to come back from Mexico.
Yes, he's right here. But he was teaching mostly his disciples, to whom he had presented himself alive. He's not some weird being. He's alive after his suffering with many infallible proofs. In other words, they can't be refuted. They can't somehow say that maybe it was something, you thought it was Jesus. No, it was Jesus. Being seen by them during the 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to, guess what? The kingdom of God. The very things he started to teach them about before his ministry even began. The thing that John the Baptist was preaching about. The things that we're teaching about. The kingdom of God. If you're not under that government, say goodbye to any other government. They don't work very well. Is that right? If Hillary was on Zoom, she could probably say amen. So what happened? What were the things that he was teaching? I remember the road to Emmaus. I'm not going to go there, but it said that he was walking with those disciples and he began to teach them about all the scriptures that pertained to him. It must have been quite a trip. Like a Dale Rumble teaching almost, you know, let's cover the maps too. Being assembled together with him, he commanded them this. He said, "Do not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father." The promise. We have that promise. Amen? The promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized." Oh, it's going to be much different. "You shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Not many days from now." Oh, can you imagine the excitement that must have filled that room? That would be a sermon we'd all want to be at. "Therefore, when they came together, they asked him, saying," the most ridiculous question, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" Would that be your first question? I don't think so. But it's always the nature of man to ask questions nobody knows the answer to or could possibly know. Like, will I die when I'm 60 or 70 or 80 or 90? I'm sure Jimmy Carter asked that question before he went. When is it going to be, Lord? Well, it's not up for him to know. And that's exactly what Jesus said. You want to know about end times? This is end time teaching. It's not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has put in his own authority. It's not for you to know, well, we should know the seasons anyway. Well, there are scriptures that says we should know something, but here Jesus clearly points out to his disciples, that's not what you're here for. You're not supposed to be going around teaching on end times, although you will. There's something else going on. But you, rather than seeking out whether it's going to be the time to restore Israel, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You were going to see power. Before the Holy Spirit came down on you, you didn't have much power. You had sin, and you had your ways, and you had your own way of doing things. And you're helpless to be able to overcome them. But when you have the Holy Spirit, you have the power to overcome them. And the waters of baptism is no longer you that's living, but Christ in you, the hope of glory. "And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem." So that's what he's called us to be, witnesses of the Lord. So no wonder they call themselves Christians, because they were witnesses to the Lord Christ. "And in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, there is no place we should not go." Some people are actually blocking Christians from going into Brazil to some of the lost tribes because they don't want that to happen. There's some crazy people out there. Verse 9. "Now, when he had spoken these things, while they were watching, he was taken up, Well, they didn't expect that. A cloud was taken up in a cloud and received, they received him out of their sight. Remember how the children of Israel were led by the Lord? A cloud by day and a fire by night. That's how we're supposed to be guided by the Holy Spirit at all times. So when we go to sleep and have dreams, it's not a time for us to say, well, we're not being led by the Spirit now. Pray for your dreams. You're having bad ones? Maybe you shouldn't be having some of those dreams. Pray. You shouldn't be there. The Holy Spirit is for you 24 hours a day. And the cloud received him, and while they were looking steadfastly toward heaven, like, what is happening? He went up, and behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Probably weren't men. Probably were angels. Who said to them, men of Galilee, what is your problem? Why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come like in like manner as you saw him go to heaven. So he's coming back. I know where he's coming back. This is good end time teaching. He's coming back on a cloud. And he's going to stay with us for a while, physically. Well, they already have their orders. Don't leave Jerusalem. What are we going to do? Well, I know we're not going to leave Jerusalem. That would be a given, right? Well, they returned to Jerusalem, just as he told them, from the mount called Olives, which is near Jerusalem. I don't know why he has to tell us that. We all know. It's a Sabbath day's journey, so it was a while. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Here are a few of them. Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Arimathias, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. So everybody was there but Matthias, interestingly. These all continued in one accord in prayer and supplication. So Friday nights are really a nice time to get together, because what are we doing? Prayer and praise. Prayer and supplication. They continued in one accord. How do you be in one accord? Anybody want to take a guess? By spending time with each other. I almost know what you're going to say when you get up and share, because we're in one accord. We have the same heart for the Lord. And he mentions, not by the way, but he mentions specifically with the women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers too. Isn't that good? Doesn't somehow say, well, the women don't matter. That's not true. They certainly did. The only woman that I know that had a dialogue with Jesus in the scripture was Martha. Even Peter had a very limited dialogue in the scripture. He probably had dialogue, but it wasn't documented. Chapter 2. The birth of our church. The birth of the bride. The birth of something new. It came from this thing, this sound. And says when all they were all with one accord in one place. So they weren't on Zoom, sorry. Zoom is okay, but Zoom is only a temporary fix to a problem called COVID-19. But they were there in the room. And there was a sound from heaven. Always seemed to be a sound. What was the first sound? I am that I am. Creation of the universe was born. Time and space. Well, this sound from heaven must have been somewhat like that. Like a rushing, mighty wind filled the whole house where they were sitting. It's like, whoa, we better close the windows. Or maybe open them up. Yeah. Verse 3, right? Yeah, better open them up. Remember the movie Hawaii? Anybody see that? The original? It was interesting. The temple, or the church that they had been meeting in, it was hit by a hurricane and it was destroyed. When they rebuilt it, they built it with windows that couldn't close. I thought that was prophetic. Let the wind blow through. Like a rushing mighty wind, it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And something else happened. So there was a sound. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as fire, not fire, but like fire, as of fire. One sat upon each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And there was an outward sign of that, not just the fire-like things that were going on. There was an outward sign that they were participating in, not passively, but aggressively. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So they were being led by the Spirit, and they were manifesting the power of the Lord in a way they could not comprehend. Most of them didn't know the languages they were speaking, even though they were known by those around them. They did not know. And we know in this day and this hour, the Lord has filled us with the tongues of angels, and we have no clue, unless the Lord gives us an interpretation of tongues, what the Lord is saying. Is that right? Yeah, that is right. We're not just, it's not just babble and dribble to have meaning and words. Well, where they were dwelling in Jerusalem, the Jews, devout men from, now I don't know, were they having a convention there or what? But it says, from every nation under heaven. How could that possibly be true? Miraculously. And when the sound occurred, again the word, and the idea that the sound of heaven is something we should probably be listening for. When you worship the Lord, do you stop sometimes and try to hear that sound? I do. And not always, but sometimes I hear it. Home group, I sometimes think, well, somebody else is worshiping here. That's not my guitar. That's not even my voice. Right, Kathy? It's like, what is going on here? Something supernatural is going on. Right here, Fountain of Life. And wherever the Holy Spirit shows up. And a multitude came together, and they were full of knowledge and understood everything. No, they were confused. Because everyone heard them speak in their own language. So it wasn't what they were saying that confused them. It was like, what is going on, confusion? They were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, weren't they all speaking Galileans? Now, how would they know that? Well, they had a Galilean accent, probably. And how is it that we hear, each in our own language, in which we were born? So it's what they call the cradle language. No matter where you live, you have a cradle language. Skipping down to verse 11. And we hear them speaking in our own tongues. What were they speaking? They understood the words. It says, the wonderful works of God. It's interesting. When you're prophesying in tongues, maybe you should try to understand what he's talking about. And he might give you an interpretation about the wonderful works he's doing in your life and the people around you. Well, again, the crowd were full of understanding and wisdom now. They were amazed and perplexed. Yeah, it's pretty hard for people who are not filled with the Spirit to understand the things of the Spirit. Is that right? I tried to tell many of our pathologists that I work with about the Holy Spirit, and I don't think I got the first base with them. Because unless the Lord draws you, you can't come. And Jim Garrett said in a recent email, he says, that word draw means to drag you to himself. So unless the Lord's dragging you in, you're not going to understand. That's a great translation. They said to each other, what could this possibly mean? And others mocked and said, they're full of new wine. They're drunk. Nope, that's not the answer. Something was happening, though. Do you want something to happen in your life? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't just be settled about being baptized in Spirit, but ask the Lord to keep filling you with the Spirit. Let that Spirit bring life into you. Bring life into life. Mercy into mercy. Grace to grace. He doesn't have enough of it for you. Yes, he has more than enough. Peter, impetuous as he was, and this time his trait, human trait of being impetuous, was used by the Lord. I know that feeling. stand up. He stood up and raised his voice and said to them, ah, it finally happened. Men of Judea, all who dwell in Jerusalem, let it be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since only the third hour of the day, which would be about 9 o'clock, but it is what is spoken by the prophet Joel, and here it comes. And it shall come to pass in the last days. So what days are we in? Last days, said the Lord. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons, your daughters, they're lost. No, they shall prophesy. Your young men shall have dreams. No, your young men shall see visions. We all think that old people are the ones that have problems with visions. No, the young men will see visions. Clearly, they'll see with their eyes. Your old men shall dream dreams. Well, their dreams are done. No, they're not. Just because you're old doesn't mean you can't stop dreaming. I'm just letting that sink in. And on my men servants, and all my maidservants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Nobody is exempt. Everybody can have the Holy Spirit. No, you can't have it. Yes, you can. And you may not even want it. He'll drag you there. And they shall prophesy. They're not just going to be filled with the Spirit, but they're going to prophesy. I never prophesy, you might say, but your prayers are prophetic. Well, that's a prophecy. You pray of things that are not happening around you. That's prophetic. And it's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth below. Blood, fire, vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. Well, I got some news flashes for most of you to say, well, those things have not come. But they have. Wonders in heaven and earth are taking place almost every year. We have eclipses of the sun and of the moon. The moon is just as blood red as could possibly be. I've got pictures of it. And it would be a hard-pressed time for us to understand what the Lord is saying here in the Spirit. But we're going to know things around us. And it is a reminder for me when I see an eclipse of the moon or the sun. It's a reminder for me that the Lord is coming back. And he hasn't somehow abandoned the project. Say, this isn't going to work. I'm going to start another one. Let it be Sun Young Moon. No. We don't need another Jesus. We have our Lord Christ. What's a wonderful gospel here, because it says, and it shall come to pass. Oh, only those that light candles for the Pope, no. Only those that pray fervently, no. Only those who have it all together, no. It says, whoever calls upon the name, oh God. Whoever shall be saved. All we have to do is call upon the name of the Lord. It's a simple gospel. We don't have to memorize scripture. I know some people are into that. God bless you. But if the scripture that I know in my heart, I didn't memorize. It was just, I ate it. It became a part of me. I can never forget it. Because I drink it in. When we're remembering Jesus in communion, I drink it in. I can hear his flesh broken on the cross. Verse 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. You better hear this when Peter says it. Peter said, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, signs which God did through him in your midst, you yourselves know. So they were not without knowing. They knew. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. Don't you like that? I want to make sure it wasn't a mistake. It wasn't something God, oh, well, this is the only thing that can save you. It's a Father's determined purpose and foreknowledge that Jesus should die for your sins. And that he should, Peter says, taken by lawless hands, be crucified and put to death, whom God raised up from the dead, having loosed the pains of death, because it's not possible that he should be held by it. Can death keep Jesus anywhere? No. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at the right, my right hand, and I will not be forsaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced, my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades. You're not going to stay there. Nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. His body would not decay. You have made known to me the ways of life. You have made known to me full of joy in your presence. You will make me full of joy in your presence. So that's one of the signs of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? The gift of the Spirit is yours too, which is joy of the Lord. You're not going to go around and say, oh, it's me, this is unbelievable, what's going to happen? The evil that the enemy has is just too much for me to bear. Oh no, you're going to be full of joy in the Holy Spirit. You're going to be able to march into Jerusalem and proclaim the Lord through World War I, through World War II, through Buchenwald, Auschwitz, Ravensbrück. You can bring life. And many did. And many died. You'd be hard-pressed to convince the people at Buchenwald, Ravensbrück, Auschwitz, that tribulation has not come. Because, see, it isn't about pre-trib, post-trib, or anything else. It's about the Holy Spirit filling you here and now, and anything he has for you historically. He has not given you the mind to know when, but he will afterwards. Remember, Jesus says, I speak to you to these things. He says this in John. I speak to you these things so that after they happen, you'll know it is God. Not before, after. So I don't know why I can't understand things in Revelation. Well, I do know. There you go. Verse 29. Men, brethren, let me speak freely to you, the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us today. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn an oath to him, the fruit of the body according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on the throne. Not David. He wasn't speaking to David. He was talking about Jesus. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ. How could he know? Except the Spirit being in him as well, at least for that time, for that prophecy. And his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. So here's some good understanding of how, where and how Jesus is today. He's still in the flesh, and he's not in hell, but he's in heaven. And he is in you and me by the Holy Spirit. This Jesus God raised up, of which we all are witness, therefore being exalted to the right hand of God. So where is he? He's in the right hand of the Father, good place to be. Having received from the Father the promise, oh, the promise of the Holy Spirit. He poured out this which you now see and hear. We say, oh yeah, I'm speaking in tongues today. Oh, it's not just, oh, now I'm speaking in tongues today. It's, wow, I'm speaking in tongues today. Maybe you haven't spoken in tongues in a while. Or maybe you should. Ask the Lord to fill you again. For David did not ascend into heavens, but he says of himself, the Lord said to my Lord, just as the Ethiopian eunuch pointed out, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. And how is he going to do that? How is he going to make the Lord's, Jesus' enemy, his footstool? Through the church, through you and me, through our prayers. That's why Friday night's not really an optional behavior when you come to pray. We should be doing this at any chance we get. Therefore, let all of Israel know this. Assuredly, that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Look out. If that were being said to me in my group, I'd say, well, this is what they said now. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart. They said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men, brethren, what shall we do then? So what's the gospel? What should you tell those who want to come to Christ? Peter said, oh, it's simple. Repent. You know, I'm praying for the spirit of repentance to come to the Middle East. I'm praying for the spirit of repentance to fall down in Hamas. I'm praying that those men are holding the hostages by gunpoint, killing little children with their bare hands. Repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Not going to come in any other way. And you shall receive, just a maybe you will, no, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When you baptize somebody in water, you should be expecting them to be baptized in the Holy Spirit soon there or soon afterwards. For the promise is to you and your children and to all who are afar off, no matter where they live, what country, no matter what government, as many as the Lord our God will call. Again, it is the Lord who calls them. It is the Lord who drags them to himself. I'm almost done, so keep with me. And with many other words, if you ever complain about long sermons, this might have been a longer one. With many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Who else said that? Jesus said that over and over again. Be saved from this perverse generation. Just turn on your television. Just read and see the advertisements on your laptop. You don't have to look very far to see how perverted things have become. Oh, God, Vice President Vance said the other day, he said, I think it was just yesterday or the day before, I said, it's about life. It's like about the sanctity of life and how important that life is should be to us. That these children who haven't even been born, we should make the mother and father want to have them. There should be something in the government structure that says, this is really important for you. You know, they do that in Russia. Alexei, who has been here several times, said, you know, they're asking him to advertise to have more children. He's got a few. If Russia can do that, we certainly should be in the United States, in the Western Bloc, instead of wanting our children to die before they're even born. How hideous. How terrible. Let's be saved from this perverse generation. Amen. And those who gladly received this word, and I'm sure there are a few, were baptized that day. About 3,000 souls. Not 3,000 bodies, not 3,000 people. 3,000 souls, valuable things called souls, were saved. And they continued. This is what they did. What if we should do in New Testament church? This is what we should do. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. And in fellowship, the breaking of bread and prayer. So these are not complicated things. These are not rituals. These are not some kind of liturgy that you have to say and do. But you listen to teachings that are coming from the pulpit of church for those who are called to be teachers. The breaking of bread, communion, but also just breaking of bread, eating together. What was the first thing that Jesus did with the disciples when they saw him on the beach? He had fish breakfast. I don't know how that would taste, but it was probably pretty good. You know, I pray over my breakfast in the morning. I said, Lord, just bless this orange juice, these eggs, whatever. But I imagine his breakfast was much better, but only not because of anything else. And the Lord kind of rebuked me. He said, no, you can imagine all you want, but when you bless this in my name, it's blessed. And when you bless your children in my name, they're blessed too. Even Hillary. Then there was a fear that came upon them. It wasn't a fear of men, but they were like, wow, this is like so awesome. We dare not step out of the covering of our God. Every soul, many wonders, signs were being done through the apostles. Not the entire church yet, but soon. All who believed were together and had all things in common. It's a special time because they just had no governing. They sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had a need. Now, actually, even if we're in a disagreement with that form of government, we can still do that. We can share our possessions as the Lord leads. We can still do that for sure. Verse 46. So they continued. Didn't just do it for a while. They continued daily with one in one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. So they went to the temple still. They didn't somehow break their covenants with the Jewish faith. They were still there. Breaking bread from house to house, though, that was a new thing. They weren't allowed to do that except the time of Passover. But now they could do it any time they want. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Now, I really pray that for the church, that somehow we can leave the doctrine and pettiness of government behind and just serve the Lord, eat together with gladness and simplicity of heart. Why are you here? I'm here to worship and pray to the Lord, and I want to fellowship with you. What do you have to eat? Tea? No problem. Crackers? No problem. Prison food? Oh, well. Whatever we have, we'll share together. 47. Praising God. So that doesn't leave our lips. Praising God and having favor with all people. So you're not supposed to make enemies, are you? That's right here. Having favor with all people. Try not to make enemies. You know, there are people that I know that are in the world and some have done evil things, but they still think good of me. Because they know I'm a Christian and they know what values I hold dear. One of them they hold dear very themselves is with their children. So I just remind them that my children are my joy, my treasure. And my children in the Lord are too. Praising God, having favor with all people, the Lord added to their church daily. So it's friendship evangelism. Didn't have tracts. They didn't even know how to print tracts. Those who are being saved. Isn't that good? I have nothing against tracts, but your testimony is more important than a tract. Who God is in you is more important than all the Bible verses you have prepared. I like to know Bible verses. In fact, in my Bible, I have some written down over the top of them. I said, remember this. Don't forget it. I have prophecies written in the front of my Bible that were given to me 30, 40 years ago. They're still true today. Because it's part of the living word of God that was spoken into me. Now, I don't want to go too much further, so I'm not going to cover what I wanted to. But in the next chapter, something happens, and the first miracles happen in the church. Again, interestingly, it was only the apostles and the prophets who were called to do these kinds of miracles. It was Peter and John. But they knew that that wasn't going to be forever. And things that were happening in Antioch were going to change the whole world, the whole idea of what Christianity was. They were no longer going to be a part of a church of Jerusalem. They're going to be a part of the kingdom of God. They were no longer just going to be Greeks and Jews. They're going to be Christians. Now, I don't know. You might call that replacement theology. Call it whatever you want to. But that's what they did. They called themselves Christians. They didn't call themselves Greek or Jew. And so I do that today myself. I just, like, I want to be scriptural, but I want the heart of the Lord. And the heart of the Lord is not to single out any people, race, or tongue, although he does do that, because he will go to every nation. So he's calling to the people in the Mideast. He's calling for the people who call Allah Lord. And he's saying, you know, wake up. It's not. He is not Lord. Even there are American Catholics that believe that Allah is. Well, he's not. Jesus is Lord. Jesus came in the flesh, not as some force, not as some God that is going to call you to task. One has mercy and grace. The first words in my prayer in the morning are like this: by your mercy and grace, may I rise from this bed. Let the mercy of the Lord flow from the throne of grace through my life. I don't know how he's going to do it. It's different every day. You know, my van has been in the shop for over 6 months. One of the best Volkswagen van repair people in Ulster County lives down in Gardner. His name is Derek. Derek has been working on it. He says, give me more time. I said, just put another engine in it. Put a Subaru engine in it. I don't care. He said, no, give me more time. Give me more time. So I got a call from him in the beginning of this week, and he says, it's fixed. Now, most mechanics will not say that, because they'll say, it's fixed. Because Volkswagen vans are noted to be fixed for a while. And then, not so much. In fact, if you go online, there's several groups that are Volkswagen enthusiasts and or not enthusiasts, whichever you want to call them. Volkswagen van survivors, we'll call them. And they have all kinds of advice for you. But I walked into his shop, and I wanted to give the van to Raymond, because his car just had his head gasket blown. And I said, well, this is the provision of God. So I walked down, and Derek's wife Kim was there, and I could see the smile on her face. He says, he didn't just fix this. It's running better than it ever has. I said, what? How can that be? That's a lot more than you thought it would cost. Now, mostly it's been like $200 to $300, and when he does whatever he does, so she says $1,076. I said, ugh, it's over $10,000. I said, I don't think I can pay for that. No, just over $1,000, which for what he did was miraculous. He went through the list of the things he did. He had to reconnect every single ground to the engine because he didn't know which one was giving us trouble, if not maybe all. And then there was like all kinds of other stuff that was wrong, and he had to change the engine in advance and things like that, which wasn't able to be done in that engine. So he had to like take the engine apart to do that. And he was jumping up and down, literally. It's done. It's running better than it ever has. Without getting into the van, he reached over and turned the key on. Cheryl, has that ever happened? No. You get in that van, you touch the key, and you start praying. Lord, help this van. And it goes, boom, boom. You know, like a World War I Sopwith Camel or something. It'll get going pretty soon. And it would most of the time. But this time, he just reached over, turned the key, and it purred into action. So he was happy, and I said, Lord, bless this guy in Jesus' name. I said, this is because of prayer. And he had a big smile on his face because he knew it was true. So we have the opportunity in our lives. And if Brad were here, I'm sure he would say amen to that. We have our opportunity in our lives many times to make someone smile because of who we are in God. Every time you go through a cash register or a checkout counter, whatever they call them now, you can make that person smile. Try it. It's really kind of fun. Amen. So, Father, we know that your grace is sufficient for us, more than sufficient. There is no end to your grace. There's no measure. It's not a spoon, heaping teaspoon, cup, quart, measure. It's without measure. And it comes flowing down into our hearts. And it's there for that purpose, O God, to bring out more grace and life upon this earth we live, an earth which is so full of tremendous evil that has been incomprehensible. Can you imagine strangling a child? And then mutilating their bodies to cover it up. How evil is evil? Well, it can be pretty evil. But you know what? The righteousness of the Lord is more powerful than that. The righteousness of God in you can be that powerful and more to the things of the world. So, Father, we pray for our broken government. Father, we pray for the woke. We pray for the LGBTQs. We pray for those who want abortion at every chance. We pray for those who don't care about anything about except for saving the planet. Well, the planet isn't going to be worth anything without souls on it. And we pray for every soul, Lord God, that you died for everyone, that you would call them Lord Jesus. And there's some that are written in the book of life and some that aren't. And I pray that you would have mercy upon those who sin without knowledge, and you would give them the eyes to see. Open their eyes. Let them hear the prophetic word of the church. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.